All right. Well, I got a couple of texts that said folks are sick or they're not going to be here tonight, so we'll vote next Sunday evening. I know they want to, some of the folks want to participate, but anyhow, we'll just do that next Sunday. So, announcements. As far as announcements, this midweek service is regular Wednesday night, but on Thanksgiving week, it'll be Tuesday night. Thanksgiving, we'll have Tuesday night midweek service. So that changes a little bit. And then the next Ladies Fellowship is December 14th. It'll be a cookie class, $5 for that. And then, let's see, there was something else on the 11th. What was the 11th? Christmas party, the 11th. Saturday, December 11th. Saturday, December the 11th, 5 o'clock is the Christmas party. So those are some upcoming events. And this evening, we're in Genesis. And we're going to talk about a wonderful subject, a root of bitterness. Genesis chapter 25. And yeah, I think so. It's off. Genesis chapter 25. So it's probably a familiar story to y'all. Esau sells his birthright for some pottage, and anyhow, he's carnal and all that. But there's a commentary on all these events in Hebrews, and you really see how it plays out in his children's lives. I love putting together, I love seeing how the New Testament interprets the Old Testament and draws truths out of it and things like that. But Genesis chapter 25, we'll just read the account here. Verse 29 of what happened. It says, "And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." So you could draw some truths out of that. Esau's carnal. Of course, you know, that's the one we focus on, Esau. I'd say Jacob's probably just as carnal as Esau. So, you know. Jacob just gets or Esau gets the short end of the stick in the deal. But I've heard that preached on, you know, Esau's carnality and you know, giving up his inheritance for basically a bowl of stew. And that's the events. And it's anytime, I would say anytime that you feel like you've been betrayed, or you know, somebody took advantage of a situation and took advantage of you, and then it looks like God blessed them. That becomes a real source of bitterness when the Lord seems to bless people that you don't think and I don't think should be blessed, and even worse than that, It's not only that you don't think they should be blessed, but they've done something wrong. And then the Lord just blesses them. So that all said, there's a commentary in Hebrews. I'm not going to go there yet. I just want to lay out the events here for you, and then we'll go to Hebrews and see what Paul said about it in Hebrews. But let's pray, and I'm going to talk about a root of bitterness. Father, I thank you so much for your words. Pray that you'd help us make these applications. Guard our hearts against bitterness. I pray that you would encourage us, feed your flock. I know there's several out tonight that are sick, and there are several out this morning that are sick. Folks that are traveling. I do lift up the Yontz family, Mike, and pray that he gets some relief from the bombardment of treatments and the toll it's taken on his body lately. Lord, for I know for Rudy and Julie, for their some help for them. And there's several others, Lord, for Debbie and our granddaughter Michaela, and just the family there, the loss. Father, I pray that you'd comfort your folks tonight. Help us, give us what we need, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so you got the story here. Jacob makes some food. Jacob's apparently a good cook, and Esau's a good hunter, and Jacob kind of stays home. He's a homebody, and Esau's a outdoors guy, and Esau comes in. I guess he hadn't killed anything, and he's hungry, and he's so hungry, he thinks he's going to die. I remember when I was a kid, man, it was... I'd eat maybe like a bowl of cereal or something at night, you know, and it's just like sugar. It's just all sugar. And if it wasn't sugar, I put sugar on it to make sure it was sugar. And and I'd eat a bowl of cereal or ice cream or something at night. Man, I'd wake up in the morning, I thought I was going to die. I was so hungry and shaken, and I was just like, I guess it was the... my body reacting or processing sugars and things like that. And I just thought it's over. It's curtains for me. I'm done. I just can't. That's how I felt, but I mean, none of it's true. But Esau feels this way. He thinks he's going to die. And so Jacob, being the opportunist that he is, and knowing, sounded like he knew eventually he would get the blessing from God, based on what God had told Isaac and Rebecca. It's he seems to always be a little bit ahead of God, though. Jacob does. So Jacob sees the opportunity in the situation and tells Esau to sell his birthright and he'll feed him. And Esau thinks that's, you know, hey, what good is my birthright going to do? I'm going to die anyway. So just here, you can have my birthright. Just feed me. And what does he give up in all this? Well, he gives up if he's got the inheritance, he's got a double portion from his dad. He's got the head of the household, head of the family status. He would be in the messianic line, and he would be sort of the domestic priesthood and his family and all that. And so he gives up this inheritance, and what an emblematic trade it is. I mean, Esau is such an illustration of every soul that yields to the flesh at the expense of a lasting inheritance, and just gives up something eternal and valuable in eternity for something that's temporary. And I mean, you could preach on that. That's true. That's what he gives up. He gives up something that's really, really valuable for something that really is going to last them maybe 8 hours or something in the end, if that. And so he gave up the inheritance for this bowl of stew, and the Bible calls him in the New Testament a profane person. What does a profane mean? Well, profanity, or like when the Lord says, "You've profaned my temple," I mean you've taken something that's sacred and turned it common. You just made it into something common. And Esau is called a profane person who gives up what's sacred for something carnal. And you think about that in people's lives. I mean, I would ask you, I ask myself this. It seems like fewer and fewer things in life are sacred anymore. Everything, or put it this way, what do you have in your life that the world can't touch? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like, well, we set aside our Sundays for church. Well, that's if it's not hunting season, you know? We set aside our this if it's for the Lord, but that's just in case, I mean, if nothing else is going on. What I'm saying is it's like nothing is really that sacred. It's sacred for a time, you know, if it's conveniently sacred, that's okay, but nothing, everything is there for a price. You know, it's not really there for the Lord, it's there for a price. And if it seems like there's a better deal somewhere else, then we'll just take the better deal. And so there's not really, or I should say, there's fewer and fewer places in our lives where the world just, we just say, no, you're not going to get your hands on this. This is between the Lord and I, and you're not going to get your hands on it. And so that's what profane is. That's what Esau is, a profane person. And something that was supposed to be sacred is just given up for something carnal. And so it's just a typical deal that most people probably would make the same deal. They may not think they would, but they probably would. And so Esau's an example. He's a bad example, but he gives up on his inheritance for some temporary pleasure. And I noticed this. I thought about preaching on this, but I'll just mention it to you. The word faint shows up a couple times. Esau came from the field in verse 29 and he was faint. And he says, "I am faint." And it brought to mind that verse where the Lord says men ought always to pray and not faint. It's like the proverb says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." You're just not what you think you are. And so if you're willing to give up some things that were sacred at one time, you're really not as strong as you thought you were. And so Esau's faint, and he's faint, and he's to the point where it's just, you know, he thinks he's going to die. It reminds me of what the Lord told, I think, the disciples in the garden about men ought always to pray and not faint, and people fainting for in temptation and things like that. That's exactly what Esau does. So that all said, that's the situation. And Esau sells his birthright, and Jacob gets the birthright. And if you're Esau, after you eat that bowl of stew, the next day you're full, you feel a little bit better, you come back to your senses. And you probably regret the decision you made. But you have just given up a lot for something that really didn't have that much value. And I imagine the next day he regrets this. But there's nothing really you can do about it. And it's said in the New Testament. I mean, he sought repentance with tears, and there's just nothing to do. There's nothing to change. So that said, go to Hebrews chapter 12, and look what Paul says about this whole episode here. And when God honors, this makes it even worse. When God honors Jacob above Esau, boy, you know that's troubling. Because he knows Jacob. Esau knows Jacob. Jacob's a conniving guy. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now look at the example. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You say, what is the connection between the root of bitterness springing up and troubling many and Esau selling or really selling his birthright? Well, this is the connection. Esau sells his birthright. Jacob is going to get the inheritance. And Esau knows he's been had by Jacob. And the Lord honors Jacob. The Lord gives Jacob the inheritance. It goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Not Abraham, Isaac, Esau. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And that thing lasts for generations in Edom's family, in Esau's family. I know there's a couple meetings where Jacob and Esau are going to meet a little later on down the road, and Jacob thinks Esau is going to kill him because he knows what he's done to Esau. And so he prepares and he arranges the circumstances as best he can to sort of, I don't know, diffuse the situation, but he thinks Esau is going to kill him. Well, at the time, Esau's become a pretty wealthy man himself, and so he doesn't really do anything to Jacob, but It's one thing to meet somebody face to face and have some good conversation and maybe put on a smile. But you know what you talk about with your family behind closed doors. And that thing from this day on, the Bible says, here's what Paul says. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You'll find out that in Esau's family, for generations, they thought they were entitled to the land, and they would viciously fight Israelites. They would viciously fight Jacob's children, Jacob's family. And when Jacob's family is being harassed and fought against by other enemies, you know what Edom does? Esau's family, Edom, they just stand by and watch. And you know why they stand by and watch? Well, you deserve that. That's what you get. That's what you get for stealing the birthright. And so this bitterness from this day on, from Esau, it doesn't just affect Esau. It affects his kids. It affects his grandkids. It affects generations of people to the point that there's a little book called Obadiah that's written just about God's judgment on the Edomites. And he says, because you would not help Jacob, because when they were being harassed by Amalekites and these other tribes, these other enemies, because you stood by and watched, I am going to hold you accountable for that. And the question is, why would they stand by and watch? Because they thought they were owed what Jacob had. I mean, that's how everyone responds. If you think you've been unjustly treated, Or you don't think it, you know it. You know someone has taken advantage of the situation. And then a few years down the road, you find God is blessing this person. That stirs you up a little bit. But then you find out maybe a little time later that person's fallen on some hard times. You know what you think? Good. Finally, they're learning their lesson. Good. It's about time. God let them learn their lesson. That's what Esau's children think about Jacob's children. So when Jacob's children are engaged by enemies, I'll show it to you in Obadiah in a minute. But when this is explained in Hebrews, and it says, you got to be careful. It's not just a perception of injustice. Maybe there is real injustice here. Maybe there is some real injustice that's happened. Even so, you better be careful about letting a root of bitterness spring up. Because, well, you may be able to deal with it between you and God at some point. But whatever you've dispersed to your children, they won't be able to deal with it the way you deal with it. And whatever they disperse to their children, it's not going away. You've poisoned the well, so to speak. And so Paul's like, you need to be careful with this stuff. You can say some things, you can do some things that it's just. You got to be careful about putting maybe too much of your business out there with people. This is a little side note, because when you start telling your friends and your buddies or your girlfriends how bad your husband is or your wife is or your family is or whatever, and then one day y'all get it squared away. And you forgive each other, and you know, hey, we're okay. Well, between you and them, it's okay. But it's not okay with everybody you've told. They still see your husband that way or your wife that way. That's how your friends see them. What I'm saying is you poison the whole thing. And he says, you got to be careful, because that root of bitterness, it contaminates a lot of people. It hurts a lot of people. And they're not going to get over it like you may be able to get over it. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And he's the example of a root of bitterness. That's kind of interesting. But that's where it comes from. If you go back to Genesis, I'll show you something that goes on in the very near future. That happens in Genesis, the next chapter over, really, in Genesis chapter 26, after Jacob steals the blessing, steals the inheritance from Esau. He's mad at God, he's mad at his mom and dad, he's just mad. He's been treated unjustly. And so he does this. Genesis 26, verse 34. It says, "And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah." So you know, understand what Esau is doing? He's marrying despite his mom and dad. They told him, don't go over there. But based on what happened in the last chapter, he doesn't care what mom and dad say anymore. He's just mad at him. I'll show you. I'll show you what you've done to me. And so he goes and marries people he shouldn't marry. And it's just a spite to mom and dad. So what I'm saying is this root of bitterness, it's obviously something you got to be careful of. And it happens when there's some hurt somewhere. Maybe it's justified hurt. Maybe it's unjustified hurt. Maybe it's perceived. Maybe it's real. But what happens is you get hurt and you start spreading that poison around to people. And then even if you get the thing right, you can't take back all the poison you've spread around. And generations, I'll show it to you, generations of Esau's children, they apparently really believe, they really believe they're entitled to this land, and they have been swindled out of it. They've been tricked out of it. And so when they will hate Jacob and his children for as long as they live. You may say, well, Esau got it right with Jacob. Okay, maybe he got it right with Jacob, but his kids didn't get it right with Jacob. I'll show you one thing. And look at the little tiny book of Obadiah. It's a little book. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Obadiah, it's only one chapter, but this is, I don't know, 1,000 years after the incident with Jacob and Esau here. And Esau's children, they just won't let it go. They're not going to let it go. Obadiah, verse 10, here's God's judgment on Edom. That's Esau. For thy violence, verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. Thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of their distress. Well, I won't read the whole thing, but you get the idea. That sentiment came from Genesis chapter 25. And it bled through generations and generations of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And so in the day when Jacob was being troubled or when enemies were coming in, you know what Esau's children did? They set back and they said, good. They deserve it. Good. Good for God to destroy them. And the Lord looked at Esau's children and he said, how dare you? This isn't your judgment. How dare you hold on to that bitterness? You should have got rid of this. And so in the New Testament, in Hebrews, Paul says, look, you better be careful with this stuff. You will start something that you can't finish. You will start something in your children that you can't stop. You will start something in your grandchildren that you can't take away. And eventually God will have to judge this thing because it's not being stopped. That's what he does what he says through Obadiah to Edom. You guys have carried this hatred for so long. You have carried this bitterness and this injustice for so long. It's you're never going to put it down. And so because you're not going to put it down, I'm going to have to put it down. And that's the message with Obadiah to Edom. But I'm saying all that because I'm trying to tie the whole thing together. This stuff starts way back in Genesis. And it just carries on for generation to generation. And then the New Testament, you get the warning. Be careful. Be careful about a root of bitterness. Be careful about that root of bitterness. You see some, you feel some sort of injustice or perceived injustice, and then it seems like God's blessing this person, and you're just like, oh, this is so wrong. This is so wrong. And then you see that person maybe getting hurt, and you're like, okay, finally God's judging him. Lord says that feeling, that sentiment, that that bitterness in you, that's not good. That's not good. And so it's a fair warning. And it all goes back to that time in Jacob and Esau's life. Esau got the short end of the stick. You say Esau's carnal? Well, Jacob's carnal. They're both carnal. Problem is, one got the blessing, the other didn't get the blessing, and the one that didn't get the blessing, he got bitter. And he lashed out, and he passed it on to his children. They passed it on to their children. They passed it on to their children. You know, it's like, what is it, what's the families, the Hatfields and McCoys or something, you know? They just keep fighting. They don't even know what they're fighting about anymore. Just fighting. It's just bitterness. Why are you fighting? I don't know. I'm just supposed to hate these people. Why do you hate them? I don't know. My parents hated them. Why'd your parents say? I don't know. Grandma and grandpa hated them. It just passes on and on and on and on. So the warning is, be careful the root of bitterness. You see how it starts. And if it starts in you and you start to spread it, you won't be able to control the consequences of that. You'll contaminate people that you don't intend to contaminate. And if things get worked out right, say, okay, well, all is forgiven. Well, all is forgiven between you. But for your kids, it's not all is forgiven. For their kids, not all is forgiven. It's a root of bitterness. And that's the example. Esau, beware. Be careful. Be careful. Esau's the example here. Mad at God that Jacob got the blessing because he thought the way he got it wasn't right. And it wasn't right. Not what Jacob did. But there was an agreement, and that's what happened. Esau didn't like the way it was handled, didn't like the way God handled it, and boy, it's incredible how many generations sin will get passed on to. It's incredible. To the point that sin is not going away unless God just puts an end to it. And that's what he says in Obadiah, I'm just going to put an end to it. Otherwise, it's just not going away. So be careful. The root of bitterness. Esau, the example. Good example. But hopefully that ties some things together in your Bible with Obadiah and Hebrews and all that stuff. But I hope that's helpful to you. This stuff you got to be careful with. You just really got to be careful with. Bitterness. It's so easy. It's so easy now. So much injustice. So much stuff you could get mad at God about lately. It's too easy. Too easy. But I hope that's helpful to you. So let's pray. I'll pray for the food. And we will be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for these words. I do pray that you'd help us make the application. Put a guard on our mouths and on our hearts against bitterness. And either perceived injustice or real injustice, whatever it is, just pray that our reaction isn't bitterness. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for the food you provided for us. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.